Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob here, getting you set up for our BB18 finale coverage live after the episode with Jordan Parhar, who's filling in for me. I am going to be at the Big Brother 18 finale tonight, and I will be in the backyard getting interviews with all the players from this season. You'll hear that shortly on the podcast. Both the video and the audio will be up soon. Make sure you subscribe to not miss any of that. Before we get to tonight's show, let me just thank our sponsor for this episode, and those are friends over at DraftKings, because at DraftKings.com, you don't need to come in first place to cash in. The player who finished 800th, that's like Jose level, in week one's biggest fantasy football contest, they even took home $100. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. That's why DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick the contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Renew old rivalries with friends, friendship, family, and coworkers to find out who the superior GM really is. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings is something for everyone. So don't wait. Get to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players for this weekend's fantasy contest. Enter promo code ROB to play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Enjoy the post-finale wrap-up.
Coming to you live from the Great White North, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy that's pissed about the results of that BB18 finale, Jordan Parhar. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. My name is Jordan Parhar, filling in for Rob Sestrinino tonight. He is at the Big Brother house. He's going to be conducting some backyard interviews. So unfortunately, he was unable to attend this finale recap podcast, but he's going to have a ton of great content with the BB18 house guest, coming to you soon. So keep an eye out for that. But for now, we're going to talk about what the hell just happened. Crazy finale night on BB18. Lots of announcements, a crazy finish, and I can't wait to get into it. With me, as usual, on the happy hour is my good crew, the LFC, the live feed correspondents. First is a man who is incredibly antsy to get into talking about this finale. He's got some interesting glasses on. It's the great Brent Walkamot, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Hey, everybody. How you doing? You know, you think I'd be really pissed. I'm not pissed. I'm more like indifferent. These are the indifferent glasses, the veil and the hat. I save for like the really dark times. And this is not one of the dark times, because I feel like there were places where Paul could have turned left instead of right. And I feel like he would have won. And we're going to get into that tonight. So we're going to talk about it.
Lots indeed to talk about. Next is a man who is certainly not old, but he is definitely reliable. It's the great Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Jordan, you need to get off of this thing. We're gonna fight at some point.
Yeah, that does not make a man sound good. Old, reliable, girl.
I don't know when I went to bed and woke up Keith Nail, dude, but I really, it's got to stop.
Yeah. It's when you're not David, right? That's something.
Yeah. And you go to the house, Alex. You go to the house.
So you're saying I'm making the merch.
You're making the merch,
so
Alex.
I'm dateable.
You're making my merch. You're dateable in my books, my friend.
Well, I'll take it, I guess.
And last but not least, he's getting ready for BBOTT. He's in sequester in a hotel room. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. You know, guys, make sure you vote in Jason, because I don't want to have to play with Jose.
True.
I feel like Taryn and Jose would be the greatest of friends, Alex, don't you think?
Oh, I don't know. Taryn, I don't know how comfortable he is, you know, with the final two with someone who never puts pants on. Taryn, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, pants are kind of a deal breaker for me most of the time. I know that might sound weird, but I don't know.
All right, well, let's get things set up for you. We are live on robisawebsite.com, and we are on a YouTube live show. So that means you can send in your questions to us. Best way to do that is by tweeting us using hashtag RHAP, and we will get into those later on in the show. We've also got the chat room going on robisawebsite.com. So if you want to chat along with the people watching us live, best way to do that is by going there. Okay, guys, let's talk about what just happened. Nicole Franzel is the winner of Big Brother 18. First time in the history of the show that a female player has beaten a male player. And Taryn, it's about freaking time that this happened, right?
Well, sure. I mean, it was just odds that it was going to happen. I mean, it could have happened before and it happened now. And I think that, it's great that it did. And I think Nicole deserved it. But yeah, I mean, I think it could have happened before easily.
5-4 vote, Alex. That's the closest vote in Big Brother history, no?
Oh, man. Has there been another 5-4 vote? I mean, it's the closest it can be.
Anybody want to throw Alex a lifeline? I think that's it.
Yeah, it is the closest
three
vote.
Votes.
Yeah, five to four.
Since expanding to a jury of nine, I do believe this is the closest. Brent, you were very adamant on the Happy Hour this week that Paul was going to win.
Let me tell you that bitch over there, Fancy Fincerton, also obviously switched his vote at the last minute. And at first he was saying it was going to be seven to two, Nicole. And then he went all the way over to 6-3, Paul. I mean, like, at least I took a stand and I was wrong.
You took a stand.
I didn't see you
naming any numbers, and I didn't see Jordan or Alex make any predictions.
Whoa. Don't come after me.
I said on my Periscope 2 weeks ago, unequivocally, that Paul was going to win against either one of these people. James was a complete loser. Okay. Well, I don't care about that. He was winning.
That's what they were asking for. I answered the question.
Stop trolling me. I'm trying to get something out that people want to hear. Okay.
What did you realize, Alex?
As I realized something this season listening to these two guys, it's better to keep your mouth closed and have people think you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt.
Thank you very much. Okay, cool.
That is why Alex is reliable.
How Nicole is a good player all season long has made me look like a fool. I don't know. Because Nicole won, and you were the one talking about her earlier this season saying she had no chance.
I never said that once.
Nice coming to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I've redirected his eye.
Okay, look, let's try to focus here, people. Let's look.
There was one major thing
that Paul did wrong, and there are a few minor things that we can get in the weeds and talk about, okay? The major thing that he did wrong was being unable to see outside of his own universe. Okay. He could not see outside of his own universe because he could not see the big picture. He was looking at the small picture. The small picture is, you know what, James, I had to pull the weight for us at Final Four HOH, Final Four Veto at part one and part three of HOH. You couldn't even win part two. You went behind my back. You don't deserve to be here. I'm evicting you and taking Nicole to the end because she deserves it. That is the completely wrong way to think of it. He lost this game when he decided to evict James. That is the major point, the major take-home point. If you want to put it in a headline, that's what happened. Because if he would have taken James to the final two, he wins going away based on that jury reaction.
Brent, I want to just play devil's advocate here, though. Don't you think with James at the end there, when he asked Paul that question, hey, Paul, why did you get rid of me? I felt like that was almost worse in his answer there. What he should have said, in my opinion, was, hey, James, the reason why I got rid of you was you would have beat me. You were too well-loved. You were, you know,
well,
sucking
not, again,
up to
you're,
him.
You're getting in the weeds because, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're getting in the weeds because he got James's vote. So why are you harping on that?
Okay.
I don't think
I'm asleep at the wheel. Never mind.
Yeah, he got James's vote. James and Natalie voted for two different people. So let's be real here.
Here's a couple like footnotes that like we were talking about who's going to vote what way. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. Here's a couple things that really stood out to me, right? You've got Davon, Zakiya, and Pauly all voting the same direction for Nicole. I think that's like noteworthy. You know, that's something that we didn't necessarily see coming. And then you've also got Bridget, Michelle, and James voting for Paul while Natalie does her own thing and votes Nicole. So that's something we wouldn't have necessarily predicted either. I think those are the two glaring things that I see that really stick out to me as like, oh, these were not things I would have predicted necessarily.
Yeah.
But you guys both agree with me, though, that if he takes James to the end, he wins. Do you agree with me or do you not see?
I absolutely agree with that. I think based on what we saw, James didn't have much of a chance.
Yeah. And Corey hating on his game tonight told me a lot, I think, in that respect.
Yeah. And like it was presented to us that Davon was the swing vote here, that she was the deciding vote. But really, it almost seems like Natalie was, because as Alex pointed out, Natalie is the only person that really went against everybody that she was friends with to vote for Nicole. And I think that's a really interesting thing to point out. And I'm very curious as to why Natalie decided to vote for Nicole instead of Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well, Taryn, we were talking in the pre-show. What you have a theory as to why Natalie decided to vote for Nicole. Why do you think she did that?
Well, I think that when Natalie came out of the house, Paul left her a not great goodbye message, but Nicole was very friendly in her goodbye message. She was like, man, you know, I'm going to be the only girl left. Natalie laughed at that. She said, you're really great. And then right after we saw the exit interviews, Natalie was talking about how she wanted to vote Nicole if James wasn't in the final two. Just prior to the goodbye messages, she was saying, no way would I ever vote for Nicole. I hate Nicole. So I really think that Nicole did do some really good work in those goodbye messages. And I also think she did a really good job in these speeches tonight. Not in the speeches, sorry, the questioning. Not the speeches.
She was terrible in this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know about that. Well, Brent, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say really quickly. I mean, I don't want people to be, I wanted Paul to win. I think he would have been a worthy winner. I will say that I don't really have a problem with Nicole winning. I think she's a completely valid winner. I think her speech tonight, actually, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I thought her question sucked. I thought her speech at the end was actually pretty good. It summed up her game. It didn't have a great start or a great finish, but the meat of the speech I thought was pretty well done. I thought there are places where Paul just really dropped the ball throughout the season. Again, it would have been, none of it would have mattered if he takes James to the final two, but since he had his heart set on taking Nicole to the final two, there were little things along the way that we've talked about that I really think cost him the win here. Namely, the way he didn't come clean to Devon in his goodbye message to her, the way he was shitty with Natalie the night before she left, and then in the goodbye message to her. I mean, there were little things along the way that I think he could have done. And I don't think that his final two questioning was great. I thought it could have been a little bit more filled with, you know, details and comp wins and, you know, this is where I changed the course of the game. This is what I did. He got most of it out in his speech, which I thought was well done. But again, it comes back to the fact that, you know, he had it won. He did everything he needed to do. He won the final part three of the HOH. He had his choice. He made the wrong choice and it cost him $450,000. On the plus side, I will say this. I'm really glad that I never have to hear again about how a woman has never beaten a man in final two of Big Brother, because I'm really sick of hearing that. If it has to be Nicole over Paul, you know, I think Paul should have won, but I think that those people who are arguing for Nicole, I take those arguments and I think they're valid.
Yeah, and I give her some credit. I mean, you know, give her a lot of credit because, you know, like Brent said, that was a great speech from Paul. I thought that was really impressive. I thought he laid out a lot of really great things and really you could see the jury kind of nodding along and stuff. And when they cut back to him at the end of it, you see Nicole sitting down and she's like, oh, holy crap. Like, she just doesn't know what to do with that. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is it. You know, Nicole's going to freeze up. She's going to like go have like an Amanda Kimmel moment and she's going to lose it right here. And she didn't. I mean, she kind of collected herself and was able to articulate some points, which is more than necessarily, I don't know that she would have been able to do that 2 years ago. So I think that is like a bit of an arc in terms of like her confidence and her ability to own her own decisions within the game.
And she had one major ace in the hole. I'm sorry, Taryn. I just want to get this out. Her one major ace in the hole, and the thing that I think won it for her, was her concentrating on the fact that she got Natalie and Michelle to put up their own alliance members rather than her and Corey. They were down 5-2 at that moment. They literally had nowhere else to hide. Pauly was now out of the house. They were the next to be put on the block. And somehow they got Natalie to go along with it. Then America sends Michelle the care package. She's now co-HOH. And Nicole has more work to do. She has to go through Natalie to make sure that Michelle will go along with this plan that Nicole has concocted. It was her one quote-unquote big move that she made in the game. And I think she was right to play that up because I think that got her Natalie's vote.
Yeah, and that's important to note because a lot of people, even the winners of Big Brother, have a lot of difficulty identifying the most impressive aspects of their game. And Nicole really does that here. This is what made her so impressive. This is the moment where I and many others said, oh man, Nicole has flipped this game around. She is probably the best in there. And she was able to point that out to the jury. And that leads me to this question, which is that we saw Devon, when Julie introduces the live show, say that she's really hoping that Paul is in there in the final two. During Paul's speeches, she's like fist pumping. She's really into Paul. Do you guys think that maybe she changed her vote based on Nicole's answers?
I think it's definitely possible. I mean,
I think that's what you want because you want the questions to mean something. I'm just no tea, no shade. I'm not throwing shade at you on that when I say that, but I don't necessarily think that. I think that she liked Paul and she loved him, but I think she respected Nicole. that was clear throughout the entire course of this season that she respected Nicole. She really wanted her out of the house. And the fact that she never got out of the house, I think she just had to chalk it up and say, girl, you got my vote. And I also, look, Davon's a fan of the show. She knows that a woman has never beaten a man in the final two. And it seems like that bugged her. I've heard her mention that a few different times. So, you know, I think that's what we're all struggling with is we thought that Davon was going to vote for Paul. She said it in the jury segment with Dr. Will, like she was very pro Paul. Then coming out, she didn't want Paul to be she didn't want him to be third place. So we all felt like she was rooting for him. And she was kind of laughing at Nicole. And it's just like, girl, we were depending on you and you let us all down. So what happened? I mean, it's all about Davon right now to me.
Well, I did think that Davon was going to vote Nicole.
And then you switched it.
Until she said, I'm dying for Paul to be in the final two, which just seems like, you know, why do you say that unless you're wanting to vote for Paul? I don't think anybody in the history of the show has ever said that and then not voted for the person they named, which
was very odd,
which makes me think maybe she changed her vote or maybe she was just trolling us. Like I troll you very often.
I mean, I think it's really tough with
person. She reacts, right? Like maybe that's all it was. Like, oh, good for Paul. Oh, but yeah, I still do love Nicole. Like that has no bearing on my Nicole situation.
Right.
Like,
right. That's kind of how I see it after the fact, but I didn't see it at the time.
No,
it really worked. It really worked for TV because she was the swing vote. And after saying, I really want Paul to be there, everyone is expecting Paul's name to come out of that key, right? Like everyone expected that.
But how do you change your mind in like 5 minutes? I just don't think after being, especially if you're Davon, you've been in the jury for, it seems like months at this point. I just find that so hard to believe she really changed her mind at the last minute like that.
All that time in the jury house. I mean, we heard a lot of her talking about people's games as it was building up and not really Paul so much. So I it's hard for me to think that that's probably, that I don't think that's likely.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I think it's likely either. I'm saying I think it's a possibility, whereas the possibility I don't think has like ever existed in the past. I think that there's some possibility. Or again, I think maybe she's just playing us, or maybe she just really liked Paul and wanted to see him in the final two. I think that obviously she respected Nicole's game, and I think she really liked Nicole's answers based on her reaction to, especially when, as Brent pointed out, she said that she was able to turn Natalie against her own allies.
And they have a bond that nobody else in that house has. You know, at the end of the day, those two were the only two female returning players. That's a bond that they've shared since day one. That's been something that they could always come back to when they were talking to each other in the house. So there's always going to be that feeling for Davon, you know, like of, in a way, Nicole winning is kind of, you know, I'm winning in a sense because this was like that we were both put in the same position. It could have easily broken for me the way it broke for her. And
she was talking about how. She was talking about how it was, you know, a disadvantage for being a vet because, you know, Nicole made, you said, I'm a vet. I had a disadvantage. You guys have seen my game before. I had to change my game. And I saw Davon really nodding along with that. As even in the jury segment before with Dr. Will, she was like, you know, she had to change her game and not make the same mistakes that she had made the first time because we've all seen her game before. So I don't know where she changed her mind or if she changed her mind, but you know, that's why we're, first of all, I have a question. I think most of the fans are really pissed right now. If, you know, beyond, they're catatonic. When the three of you, I'll start with Alex. When you saw that Davon had voted for Nicole, your first reaction was,
wow.
Wow. Jordan, what did you think when that happened?
I mean, well, when I saw it was down to Davon, I was like, okay, it's over. Paul's won based off of, you know, again, what Taryn was saying though. Yeah. Paul.
Were you,
and, like,
were you pissed? Were you indifferent?
Yeah. I was upset because I'm a Paul fan. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I am unbiased in that regard, but I mean, I do understand Nicole did, I think, in my opinion, play the better game.
Taryn, when you saw that Nicole had, or Davon had voted for Nicole, what were you thinking? Like, were you mad that you got trolled, or were you just like, what the F, or what?
What happened was, I was rooting for Davon to be objective, and I felt like she recognized that Nicole had played a better game, and I was really expecting Paul to come up on that key. So when it was Nicole, I was just like, whoa, yes!
Right. We talked about this before, and Jordan kind of, I mean, you know, no tea, no shade, honey, but you kind of poo-pooed me, and I said, I think most jurors try to put the key in of the person that they objectively think is the best player, and I think that Davon,
that is fair, Brent, but I think
that
Davon
really
that.
Did that. I think she honestly believes.
She did.
I think that is true, but I will say this. I think when you have a returning player, I think it's a little different.
Okay.
And also too, Davon is a big fan of Big Brother. So I think it's a little different when you get someone like Davon compared to someone like, I mean, it's different in this case because his showmance partner is in the final two, but someone like Corey or, you know, Bridget or something like that.
Right.
I mean, you just know,
just for the fans out there, for those people crying for Paul, please don't cry for Paul. Paul has a great life. His parents got money. He's got money. Like, he's getting $50,000. First of all, Victor beat James and Natalie. Victor wins America's Favorite Player. James and Natalie have to suck it up. Paul and Corey, not even in the top three. Yes, bitches, that's what I'm talking about. So hang your hat on that. Look, Paul, he made it. Look, if Nicole wins part three, Paul isn't even in the mix, okay? She's going to evict Paul and take James. And I could not have handled that. So Paul winning, you know, a girl finally beat a boy. Let's be happy about that. Victor wins America's Favorite Player. Let's be happy about that. I think Paul comes back for an all-star season. Like, there's a lot of good things to take out of tonight. Would I rather Paul won? Yes. But in doing so, we would have this thing about a woman never beating a man continuing on. And I'm really sick of I'm really sick of hearing it. So you saw how it was important to the producers. Julie, I couldn't believe she actually brought that up. Like, this is the first time that a woman has ever beaten a man in the final two. And Nicole was like, yes. And so it was a very big woman power thing. And I support that. So, you know, it was a good night for Big Brother.
Alex, who was more upset, Paul with losing $450,000 or James for not winning America's Favorite Player?
Tough call, right? Because James didn't necessarily show it, but I felt it anyway.
We all felt it.
He didn't have that Frankie Grande pouty face. They did zoom in on him. They tried to get him.
Did you see that?
To James before they went to the close-up of Victor. Like, and Victor has won America's Favorite. Fine, James. Where's James? James
got roasted so hard tonight, I almost felt bad for him. Like, cut at final three, didn't get what he thought he was going to get all season long. I mean, bad on him for thinking he was going to get it, but oh man, poor James.
Yeah, and let me ask you guys this question.
You're referring to a showmance?
How does Paul not see that, you know, the reasons he's articulating about why James doesn't deserve to be in the final two are exactly the reasons why Paul has to take him? It seems like that's where Paul dropped the ball. He was a new player. He didn't know Big Brother. He didn't know the end game. He got a little... His focus wasn't there. All of a sudden, he started thinking about who deserves to be here. You know, who do I want to take and reward? But what you should be thinking about is who can I beat? Who can I slam dunk beat? And he thought he could beat them both, and he was wrong. That was a miscalculation.
Honorable young grasshopper, but not necessarily wise.
Right.
Did you guys see the live feed update the other day where Paul, everyone was kind of just like confessing things, and Paul said that he had seen more seasons of Big Brother than mm-hmm. Big Meech did, Alex?
He claims he's been watching with his family since he was a kid. I feel like maybe, you know, like that's kind of like... It's one of two things, right? It's either... He's like now, you know, saying this now because it, you know, looks good and it's an opportunity. Like maybe he watched like a couple of things. It's like a vague memory when he was like a little kid of like seeing it on at his aunt's place a couple of times. Or he's straight like Johnny Mac, you know, he's not a super fan, but he's watched more seasons than he's let on, which is a doubtful possibility because he doesn't really know like stuff about the show unless he... has just been, yeah, I mean, unless he's Andy Kaufmaning everyone for 100 days, which seems absolutely unlikely.
No, he's not. He said preseason that he watched as a kid with his family. So it's not like a big secret, right? Like we've known all season long. It's just that obviously he didn't retain much of that, right? Like I mean, it's clear watching him play that he's not like a big fan of the show. He has seen the seasons. We knew that from the start, but it was like when he was a kid watching with his family, like nothing like even Michelle has done with Big Brother.
Taryn, in terms of the mistake that Paul made tonight, how bad are we looking at this? In terms of, you know, in the off season, we did a top 10 worst moves in Big Brother history rankings podcast. Does this move of Paul's by not taking James, by taking Nicole to the end, is that in your top 10?
I don't know, because I think this jury was very difficult to predict. That said, I think most people... were under the assumption that he was going to beat James more easily. I don't know if he was also under that assumption, but it does seem like his main motivation was to be more honorable and to take the person that deserved it more, which, you know, if he's okay with losing because of that, then, you know, it's his right, right? But if he was like, if he legitimately thought there's no way I can lose and this is why I'm going to do this, then that's a huge mistake. And it's probably going to be up there.
Alex, what do you think about that? I mean, it's so tough. I kept going back to Cody and Derek in that situation, but I didn't want to throw that to Taryn because I know we'd go down a different rabbit hole if I did that. So what was your take on the move in the moment? What did you think? Did you think Paul was going to walk away with the win?
Yeah. I mean, I thought there was a good chance. I mean, I knew it was going to be close one way or another. It seemed very clear it was going to be close. 6-3 at most. Well, like, this was not going to be lopsided. So I thought after the speeches, after the everything, I was like, you know, my gut says that, you know, probably, you know, an unbiased juror would give it to Paul. But yeah, it could have easily gone either way. And go ahead.
I was just going to ask, you know, when the first question really struck me, I thought it was Paul's weakest answer because Natalie, I felt like it should have been Michelle, but Natalie asked him, you know, how can I give you the money when you don't respect me? And he didn't really fall on his sword here. And remember that Natalie voted for Nicole. So I wonder if he, you know, if there was a potential to get her vote by really, you know, throwing himself on the mercy of the jury and saying, you know, hey, you know, I said some things that I don't feel great about. I apologize for those things. Things come out of your mouth in the heat of the moment. But, you know, there's nothing but love and friendship in my heart for you guys. I really do love you all. Like he sort of said that at the end, but there was no apology in there whatsoever. It was basically, I'm a wild and crazy guy and, you know, friendship. And
right.
I felt like he could have done more with that question if it mattered at all. And I don't know that it did.
You're right. And that last line was just having fun, which is like in relation to the question, I even cringed a little. I was like, ooh, no, you weren't just having fun when you called Michelle the C word and neither was she. So that's like, maybe get off of that path.
Just having fun is James pulling pranks in the house and his shenanigans.
I hope Rob Cesternino, when he's in the backyard, asks everybody tonight how big of an effect him calling Michelle the C word had on any of their votes, because I'm so sick of hearing about it. Like, I really don't think it mattered at all.
But Brent,
I really
don't. It came up tonight. It did.
Well, okay. I feel like they had nothing else negative to say about Paul. So it has to. So they continually had to bring that up. It was just a thing to bring up to make it look like they were possibly thinking about giving somebody else their vote. But beyond that, they really couldn't come up with anything. So you're really telling me that of a weak moment in like week 7 when somebody was egging him on, you're really going to hold that against him? I just can't accept that. I hope that they liked Nicole's game better than Paul's and felt like she had a better grasp on you know, the inner workings of the game. I really hope they didn't vote against Paul because of that. I'll be terribly disappointed if that's true.
In fairness to them, I mean, that wasn't the only instance. There's the FT stuff as well. So, I mean,
well, it's all a Natalie thing. She needs to get over herself. Boy, she does.
Taryn, I had someone tweet me this earlier in the evening, and it seemed fairly obvious to me, but I want to get your take on this. What's the percent chance that we see Paul back on Big Brother again?
I think it's probably like 95% at this point.
Yeah. Are you guys all in agreement on that one? I said 100. I mean, we're going to see him again at some point, right?
Alex.
Oh, I wouldn't have gone quite that high because you never know. I mean, we would have said, I would have said 95 about Zach. Right. Yeah. And
right.
Months later, you know, if you never know how people are going to be coming out of the house when they get a smell of their own fame. You know what I mean? Like Paul's going to come out and realize, like, he's going to go to a party tonight and he's going to realize he's got some fans and a lot of them are female and that may change him. You never know. But provided it doesn't, and, you know, he stays, you know, humble and grounded in friendship and all that, then, yeah, you know, 80, 85, sure, I'm cautiously optimistic.
I feel like a lot of the problem that a lot of fans are having tonight is that they identify with Paul's game. And I think most of us, especially me, identify with Paul's game because he played a very outwardly focused game where you see what's going on. He played from the front. He took the bullets. He was out there directing things. He was, you know, he didn't mute his personality in order to get himself through the game. Whereas Nicole played a very quiet, inward game that was behind the scenes, something that's not flashy. And, you know, we as viewers like the former. That's what we are accustomed to seeing. It's the Dr. Will. It's the Dan. It's those kind of people that we want. And when I was listening to Dan Giesling earlier today talk about Paul, I agreed with him because, you know, he noted that Paul realizes, hey, it's a TV show. You know, it's not just a game taking place in a vacuum. It's not some people on a battlefield, you know, working out strategy. There's actually cameras in there and viewers watching and ratings matter. And you have to really work at that. And Paul did all that. So that's why we love him so much. And that's why we really don't like Nicole, because she basically stayed in bed for 80 hours or eight, whatever. She was in bed a lot. Let's just put it that way. But on the other hand, I feel like Nicole did what she needed to do to win, because like it or not, and the producers noted this in an interview, it was either earlier today or yesterday, that when women play really aggressively, it seems like they are painted as the bitch. I mean, Vanessa's the only person I can really remember who played really aggressively and wasn't like tarred with that snake bitch label. And I feel like Nicole did what she needed to do in order to, and she was still tarred as a snake, but
Who was the villain of BB17, if not
Vanessa? It was Vanessa.
But I mean, I don't feel like the jury, I feel like it was more of a respect thing, and then they sort of like, she's kind of a bitch. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, she's a bitch, and we kind of respect her, that kind of thing. So, I don't know.
But yeah, you know, she steered the traffic. It's like anyone who steers the traffic ends up being the big bad guy. You know what I mean? It's pretty hard to avoid that narrative if you're controlling things, because people, that's just kind of the nature of storytelling in general.
Let's talk about something that, or someone that was a big part of the episode, even though they weren't a part of the final three. Big Meech, Taryn. What the hell is going on with Big Meech? She's all over the place.
Okay. I'm just going to like, Big Meech is pathetic, right? Like Austin.
Thank you.
How dare you?
She's gonna be on Twitter in a matter of hours.
I don't care. I really don't care. She should not. Like, is Michelle a super fan? Because I can't remember a sentence she's uttered without saying super fan. And you know what? She does not deserve any sort of label whatsoever with Big Brother after what that pathetic display in the jury, in front of Dr. Will, no less. Like, come on. Like, this is Austin times like five. It's ridiculous.
You know what that reminded me? You know what this whole thing reminds me of? Like Michelle just constantly saying, like, as the super fan of the season, like even in her final question, like being the super fan and getting to the, it reminds me of, like, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but like a lot of times, like, you'll have like that one friend who's really lazy, but that's the person who's always telling you about how hard they're working and how much they've got going on. You know what I mean? Like, because it's like, it's bothering them. So they've got to like reinforce the idea that like they're doing so much, because like deep down when they go home, it's eating at them that they're not doing anything. So like, that's what this reminded me of. It's like, Michelle's just like, I am the super fan. Like, all right, Michelle, we got it. You have watched. Who's this Dr. Will person? Like,
I really don't understand how she passed the psych test. She's an absolute like ball of emotions that doesn't seem entirely stable.
Stop looking at me.
Yeah.
Guys, like, you're smiling.
Taryn, like, but like, that's going to be her on Twitter. Like, this is not good. And trolls are those trolls that were in that whatever HOH comp. Like, those guys were nothing compared to what she's going to see when she's on the real world. Like, I am legitimately scared for Michelle. Seriously.
It's Joel territory, I'm telling you.
It's scary. It's scary, Brent. It's
Shade.
So, like, she is in, she, like, I don't know. I just.
I saw, like, you go, you just blew past that one, didn't you? Yeah, I am worried about her a little bit, too.
Probably the best thing to do is just take some time and, like, not go on social media. You know what I mean?
But you because, know,
like,
she's going to do that. Yeah, come on.
Will, like, if she's listening to this, if for whatever reason she comes home and listens to this before she does anything else, just who cares? Like, yeah, people are saying stuff, but like, honestly, like, you need to worry about you when you get out of the Big Brother house. And like, just, you need to like, just delete all that stuff. You know what I mean? What else can you do at this point? But like, it's just not gonna, it's not gonna like help you like move past Big Brother. It's not gonna help you like start whatever you want to start in the next phase of your life. Like, it's just gonna drag you down and make you unhappy. You know what I mean? So like, on some level, you just got to dismiss that stuff. Even if like some of what they're saying rings kind of true, like even if like the game got the best of you at times and you felt like maybe you're being a little petty, like, you just like that stuff happens. Just, you know, what it is.
Exactly.
That's part of your like TV personality. It doesn't have to be who you are as a person, and just like roll forward, you know?
Yeah. Like,
did you guys,
go Michelle, ahead, Taryn. Michelle, if you are listening, I have no idea who you are as a person. I'm sure in real life, you're perfectly pleasant. In Big Brother, you're pathetic. So get over it.
Ooh, that's not nice, Taryn, but
at least he qualified the, you know,
I love it.
Statement.
I've rubbed off on Taryn. I like it.
Okay, did you guys see when, well, I'm sure you saw this, like, it was very brief, but like when Corey, like, she was going back and forth with Corey at the jury segment, and she was like, stop laughing at me. Like, it's not funny. And Corey's like, I'm not
smiling
laughing
at me.
Or stop
right?
smiling. Yeah. And then it right. pans to Dr. Will and he's smiling.
I think my favorite moment actually the entire jury segment was when I think it was Davon or no, somebody first said, like, Paul's the world's greatest liar. And then like three or four people confirmed that, like, yeah, world's greatest liar. I'm like, You're talking to him. That guy in the middle of you, that's the world's greatest liar that you're telling. You're like, you're preaching the merits of Paul. And he's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I could have Paul on a hunger strike for a month right now.
How many of these people knew who Dr. Will was? Seriously, Taryn, what do you think?
Over, under, 1.5.
I'm saying under.
Saw him have to introduce himself, right?
Like, yeah.
Embarrassing.
Like, I mean, honestly, like, let's be like,
Jackie Robinson doesn't have to introduce himself to baseball players.
Michelle legitimately did not know who Dr. Will was.
She I didn't know who Dr. Will was because there was that Botox model on there. I couldn't even see who it was. The face wasn't even moving.
Oh my gosh.
Was he smiling at Michelle or is that just his face?
Right? Yeah, that's his face is just stuck, like just that grin. Right. I love Will Kirby so much. That was just so great seeing him. For me personally, top three moments this season, number one was Victor coming back in the second time, but number two and three were when Dr. Will and Mike Boogie were on the show again for their segments. Like, seriously, I don't know what that says about this season or what that says about me. But anyway, we are going to be taking your questions very shortly here. On the podcast. So if you want to get those in, you haven't sent them in already. Again, you can tweet us using hashtag RHAP. Before we get into the questions, Brent, we have to talk about Big Brother Over the Top. Whoa, that twist. Holy crap. What is going on? Jose or Jason is going back in the BB house?
Yeah, hashtag pick your gay. Like this is astounding. I was so blown away by this. I can't believe he kept it a secret. Both of them actually, because Jose's been on social media since he got out of the house. But apparently, it's only one gay per season, so you got to pick one or the other. And I think, come on, this is a foregone conclusion. The boy from Boston's gonna get it. Hey, you got to pick Jason on this. Come on. Although I have seen people on Twitter saying that they're gonna vote for Jose to hold it against Davon because she didn't vote for Paul, which she should have. I have seen that. So
I think Jose would have voted Nicole too.
They're not very happy with her right now.
I will say, I think it's pretty funny. Like, I guess it was like a week or a week and a half ago that Jason Roy took like a couple days off of Twitter and people were like, oh, he's in sequester. He's just going like, I did blow up for like a few hours there. And then I saw him on Snapchat. Like, take one day off of Twitter and all these bitches think you're in sequester. And it's like, it turns out you are, dude.
Right?
I got you.
I need to hear that voice. I mean, I do love me some Jason Roy. So he needs to be in the house for me to watch BBOTT.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, actually.
Taryn, on the Dan Giesling bonus podcast this morning, Dan said that production likes to sometimes use twists that can kind of help protect their own people, if you will.
Assets.
So this has got to be another one of those, right? Throwing Jose up against Jason. Like, Jose's got no chance.
You know, Jose was on our television tonight, right? Like, I mean, granted, he didn't get really, like, any screen time.
Oh, but can we talk about that? The pre-jurors, how they, like, went and blew past them? Oh, my God. I've never seen him do that in my life. I thought they were going to do a segment and then go to commercial. And then I looked at the time, and I'm like, oh, shit, we don't have any time. Like,
poor Glenn.
Wow. In fact, Jason probably got better screen time from just that one shot where he's looking at Jose like he's totally insane. He's,
right.
Yeah. Really? You're going to vote for this one? Really?
Jason was like, get off my block.
That was fantastic.
I do think Jose has the recency bias. I mean, he was the Messiah. I think that a lot of people just immediately think like, oh, he's you know, crazy TV.
Everybody loves Jason.
But I do think, you know, Jason was fantastic. I think that if the fans have anything to do with it, it's going to be Jason. I would be very surprised if it was Jose.
Yeah. Hey, and along the lines of what you were talking about with the idea of what Dan was saying with, you know, helping out certain individuals, like, you know, like if, you know, you put Frank in the house, so you give him the roadkill, right? Which is this competition. Right. You can win anonymously and then get power. So what is it for Jason? Like all the HOH competitions are like Big Brother Australia trivia.
There has to be reward competitions and their big pile of cigarettes at the end of each one.
No, I think what they're doing is they're going to try to maybe make it more like Big Brother UK, which Jason is a fan of. That's and right. They're putting all bunch of super, super fans in the house, but super fans of Big Brother US, because I don't know if you guys saw, but the schedule is out for Big Brother OTT. And it seems like there's a thing called a safety ceremony a few times a week where people are being saved. America is voting for the winner of the season. So there's gonna a lot of loopy things that are going to be going on in this house, Brent.
Well, as long as it's not, if America's voting for safety, I'm okay with that. I really am. But I have to say, if you put Jason in the house, like, I mean, he looks like he's going to win it. And unless you can't win it like back to back weeks or something like that. I mean, they're quickly going to love Jason. On the other hand, I'm glad that they're doing safety, because the opposing thing that they were going to do was like, let America have a vote every week. And we all said that if they do that, then we're never going to have any close votes at all, because no one will ever take the chance to flip the vote when they don't know what America's going to do. I'm okay. I'm really okay with this. If America's voting for safety, I'm okay with. And if America's voting for the best player at the end, I'm okay with. You know, if you watch the whole season, I really am okay with that.
But what if they're competing for safety? America is evicting every week, and then America is picking a winner.
That's obviously
the sense I get.
America picking the winner is atrocious.
I've already read that.
They have a vote. They have a vote.
Yeah, is it a vote, or does America
a vote?
Yeah, or is it confirmed that is it Russell Hantz style that America just straight up picks?
So I don't want to say it's like confirmed one way or another, because I don't know if the tweet was legit, but the tweet made it sound like America's choosing the winner.
Okay.
Well,
America would have chosen Paul tonight, so that's not so bad.
Okay. Well, this, yeah.
But does Paul even make it in this new game? Like, is it even fun to watch him play this new game? Like,
no. Yeah. In this game, the final two is like James and
Natalie. I don't know. Yeah, James and Natalie, based on AFP results. Yeah, James and Natalie. Taryn, are you going to be able to survive? Are you okay? Are you holding up okay after hearing all this news?
I know. This is
devastating. Way worse than tonight's finale.
I've already committed to covering this season, so I will be here. But if it's legitimately America picks the winner, do not expect me to speak positively about this at all. I will cover it. I will cover it unbiasedly, as I always try to do. But I will not be happy about it.
If it is the case, seriously, pour one out for those poor, poor super fans that finally got their shot on Big Brother and signed up to play a different game. Let's be honest, this is not that game.
Yeah,
this is like
exactly.
Big Brother UK, which is not what they...
It's Big Brother. Yeah, Big Brother 2000. It's a completely different game.
Yeah, that went swimmingly.
Yes. Well, I mean, I, for one, look, when I signed up for this gig, I signed up for Big Brother Canada and Big Brother US. There was no like Big Brother OTT. So I'm going to give it a go. Honestly, I am. I'm just being like real with you guys. I've never even told you guys this or told Rob or anybody, but like, I'm going to see how it goes. If I don't like it, if it's a whole nother show, girl, bye. Cause I mean, it's got to impress me. I mean, I'm not just, you know, I cover this. I'm on here talking to you guys because I honestly love the show. You know, I would do it for free. I pay Rob to do this. You know, I donate to Rob. I'm a patron just like everybody else. So I love being a part of this, but if it's something I don't like, I ain't going to stay around for it. So they better not screw this up.
Okay.
Like, are we really going to have to hear all season long, like, America, please save me. I really need to be saved. Please, America. Like, America, I'm so good. Like, just vote for me in the end. I need the money so bad.
Yeah. And if you go back and watch Big Brother 2000, like, they didn't know what to do with themselves. Cause like, what's the strategy to this? Like, what's America looking for? We don't know. So they ended up kind of doing that. Like, oh, there's the camera. Let me do a dance.
Now it all makes sense. If you listen to Dan Giesling's podcast earlier today, he basically said that he knew some people who had been approached about Big Brother OTT. And then Rob said, you know, veterans or new players. And Dan wouldn't give it up. But now that we've seen Jason and Jose, obviously, week two, more people could come into the house. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, they might do something like Big Brother Canada where they bring people in week three or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And what Dan said was that some people were approached but didn't want to do it because of the new format of the show.
They didn't want to. They didn't want to waste their bullet on something that might flop. They want to wait for a real All Stars.
Yeah, I blame them.
If it's America votes for the winner, like obviously, you know, most Big Brother players are going to be like, "Screw that! That's not Big Brother."
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Like, I mean, that's like we're going to do inherently worse on that format, because if you go in there trying to play a game and scheme and connive, like, that inherently makes you someone that people don't want. Like, you're never going to win an America's popularity vote that way. You just don't. It doesn't happen. I've scoped enough big seasons of Big Brother UK to know that the only person who pisses off everyone and wins is Gary Busey, because he's adorably senile. That's the only way. It's the only way.
Love me some Mechanical Dogs and Gary Busey. Okay, let's jump into your questions. Enough about OTT. Let's get into what you guys think about the finale. This first question is from Jared. Jared says, who is going to be more disappointed tonight, Paul or James, when Natalie disappears forever? Ooh. So similar spin on a question I had earlier. Taryn, what do you think? Who's more disappointed? What's the over under for the number of days Jatalee lasts?
I don't think it has any legs. I don't think it starts. But I think Paul's fine. I think Paul is on the rise. He's happy. I think he's going to be happy with his performance overall. I think that he's going to regret the decision, obviously, but he's still got fans. He's still going to come back, I think, and he's going to learn from those mistakes. And all that. James, on the other hand, he hit his peak and he is on his way down. And I feel like there's nothing but bleakness left for James in his life. And I'm scared for James.
Hey, well, here's one stat the guy has to hold his hat on, which is kind of depressing, but it needs to be acknowledged. James has tied Janelle at 177 days in the Big Brother house. That's the record. James and Janelle joint co-holders of the record for longest duration of Big Brother.
Oh. Yeah.
And really just speaks to these seasons are way too long anymore. That's all it means.
I was just going to say, I wish somebody cared about that, but no, we don't care about that. I'm glad I don't care about that. To answer the question, I think
mattered
that,
more on Survivor because they don't change the season.
Exactly,
length.
Right. Yes. So I think that, I don't know. This is a tough question. I think Paul might, but I think that Victor winning America's Favorite Player and Paul, you know, it's not like Paul ended up with nothing. He got $50,000. I think he's going to find out very quickly that everyone is really, really pissed that he didn't win. I think that's going to make him feel much, much better. And, you know, again, he's got a good life. So I think Paul's going to be fine. James is the one that's going to have a bad time.
Yeah, the sitting ducks both walked away with money tonight. I think that they'll be at least, you know, it's bittersweet, but you know, I think that they can both take that as a win. Okay, JF's got a question here. JF says, remember when Nat promised Paul her jury vote, then Paul and Vic crapped on Nat for throwing James under the bus. Is that why Paul lost?
Brad, you would say agree yes. with that. Yes, that week where Natalie was on the block and Paul, for some reason, it was so funny because early on that week, Natalie was really, really pissed off with Nicole and Corey. She absolutely forbid James from working with them. She was mad at them. She understood that she had broke Paul and Victor's heart. And Paul got really cocky. He really did. He said things to Natalie that he shouldn't have said. He basically just, you know, called her out for, you know, throwing your boy under the bus. And then, of course, that got back to Natalie. She was really, really pissed off at them for, you know, making her look like a fake. They were calling her fake. They were saying that she was taking James for a ride, and that really hurt her. That hurt her pride. And there was no reason for them to do that. They had her dead to rights at that point. All they've got to do is treat her with kisses and butterflies at that point. She's going to be on the jury. If you want her vote, say nice things about her or don't say anything at all. They just went about that the whole wrong way. Nicole, to her credit, knew what to say in the goodbye message. Paul did not say anything good in his goodbye message whatsoever. That's why I think he could have lost the game right there.
Hey, no butterflies.
I think there's an important lesson to kind of like be learned here, where a lot of people throughout the season were talking about like Nicole is never going to win a jury vote. She has not made enough relationships. All she has done is lay in bed with Corey all day. Meanwhile, Paul has made all kinds of relationships. Obviously, Paul's going to win the jury vote because of that. But it's not just about relationships, right? It's about respect at the end of the game. And you don't have to have a relationship with somebody to have respect for them. In Nicole's case, I think not having a relationship with a large amount of the house guests was actually a benefit to her, because they didn't get to see how obnoxious she was when she was laying in bed with Corey all day. And they didn't have to hear about how great Corey was as much as she was actually talking about it. If anything, the fact that she didn't have relationships with them allowed them to have a better view of her than maybe they actually would have had she had a relationship with them. So there's a lot of different intricate things that go into this kind of jury vote. And you can't just oversimplify by saying, oh, well, this person's really good because they make lots of relationships. That's not all that is. You know?
I think this goes back to what Alex said at the beginning of the podcast, where he's like, you know, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought of a fool rather than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Because like, you know, Taryn's right. She was better off by people not hearing all the obnoxious things that she said behind their back. Like she managed to basically have no relationship with some people, but they at least respected her enough to give her their jury vote. And that made the difference in the end.
And what you guys are talking about, what it really reminds me of, I think what, like, you know, such a great example that I'll always come back to is the Derek and Jocasta situation in Big Brother 16. You know, like, clearly Derek's doing so much more work to try to get Jocasta's vote when she's going into the jury first or second. I can't remember now. But, you know, like, of everyone else in the house, Derek Derek stays up all night praying with Jocasta and trying to really like endear himself to her. And it ends up coming ringing hollow and coming off phony when he turns around and votes her out. So by doing nothing, he would have been better than putting in all this work that he thought was going to get him somewhere. And yeah, it just goes to show.
Totally. Yeah, I can see that. I think another example. Well, we could go down another rabbit hole, but we don't need to. Okay, here we go. Next question is from Jared. Jared said, when was the last time the overwhelmingly worst player won in the final two? Well, I don't think Nicole was overwhelmingly the worst player in this final two, right, Darren?
What was the whole question?
When was the last time the overwhelmingly worst player won in the final two? I think Taryn's going to say Big Brother 14, right?
Are you not going to say that, Jordan?
I mean, that's probably what I would say. I think we're all in agreement. I love Ian, but I mean, come on, Dan Gisling.
Like, will be Canada? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's
no,
true.
No, we're not counting Canada. We're not counting Canada.
No, Jordan. No, I don't think Nicole is the worst player by far. I mean, I think that, I mean, I've been very clear that I think she played a better game. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, people are quick to knock Nicole for like quote unquote not doing anything and laying in bed with Corey, but nobody wants to talk about the fact that Victor comes back three times and that it really benefits Paul. You can't say it doesn't. I'm sorry. I love the guy. I love both those guys. But Victor coming back three times gives Paul a number that he shouldn't have twice. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Nicole, too, is, I mean, it's so impressive that she didn't get nominated until that late in the game, like Final Four. Like, come on, that's pretty nuts. And also, too, she did face some adversity, and she overcame it. So, you know what?
She did exactly what we criticize many winners for. Like, I didn't like Derek as a winner, like, from a fan point of view, because he never faced adversity. He was always in control of the game. Nicole had the rug pulled out from under her, you know, that week that Pauly was put on the block, Corey was right next to him.
Week one.
Well, yeah,
almost.
But once got started, yeah. I mean, exactly. Girl, you made me miss my point. What was I saying? Like, week one. Like,
she cares about week one? When the rug was pulled out from under her.
Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to talk. Like, she was down 5-2. She was trying. I got my point back already. You're a day late and a dollar short. Thank you.
I was. Like,
it was 5-2. 5-2, she was going home and she faced adversity and she turned it around. I don't see how you can say that she's clearly the worst player. Like, it goes back to what I said. You guys are harping on the fact that, you know, the jury somehow awarded Nicole the win when we really should be mad at Paul for not seeing the forest for the trees, for not evicting Nicole and taking the obvious goat in James to the final two. Like, there's a part of me that feels better and why I'm not in the veil tonight, because I feel like this is on Paul. This is not on the jury. Paul gave them permission to take the win away from him by taking the superior player to the final two.
And as much as Paul's win would have been a true underdog story and something to really, you know, get behind and get excited about, I mean, you look at, you know, the arcs that they took to get there. Like, Paul was really having to save himself, fighting for his life and doing a lot, having to do a lot more because of the position he kept finding himself in, because of the volatility of his style and his game. Nicole really had the arc that we tend to see a lot of winners that we respect have. You know, like, when we look at Andy's game, you know, like somebody that was thinking about maybe we need to go after Andy next week. That's the time that Andy gets that person out. When you look at Nicole this season, Frank was starting to talk about Nicole being shiesty. Frank goes. Davon next. Davon goes. You know what I mean? Like, the people went exactly when they needed to. Right as they were starting to talk about Nicole is double dealing, Nicole would say, no, I don't remember that. And then just get rid of him. And that's exactly what she needed to do.
Right, exactly. I'm sorry, really quickly. Nicole faced enough adversity to make me respect her game. Just like Andy, you know, when Alyssa won HOH, when Alyssa switched her vote and was going to keep Amanda, like, you have to do things on the fly in order to keep control of the game or get it back if you've lost it. Nicole was able to do that. I don't love Nicole as a player. In fact, I think she's a pretty shitty player as far as TV goes, but you have to give her respect for being able to pull it out of the fire and get control of the game again.
And I love the Andy comparison because, like, first of all, you know, they're friends. I made the comparison earlier because, you know, a lot of people hated her game, just like a lot of people hated Andy's game. And throughout the season, they continuously proved their critics wrong. And he was called a rat. Nicole was called a snake. Snakes and rats. It's so poetic. It's beautiful. The snake and the rat got together.
It's a good one. I like that. Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, Taryn. John Densford has a question. John says, was taking Nicole easily the worst move of all time, correct? And then we have another one from John Coakley. Two Johns. Where does Paul's decision rank among the biggest mistakes of all time? Okay, so we talked about this briefly. So, yeah, Brent, what do you think? Does this crack your top 10?
Boy, I think it's pretty high because of the fact that he seemed to be self-aware. Like, he seemed self-aware that James was terrible and that James hadn't earned anything and he didn't deserve to be there. Like, I'm literally, like, trying to, like, telepathy tweet, like, Paul, all the reasons you're articulating are exactly the reasons why you need to take him. Like, why are you dismissing that out of hand? He never really considered it. That's the other thing. He never really considered taking James to the final two. It was always Nicole all week long. That's why I wasn't surprised at all when he chose to evict James. And we all knew it was going to happen. He never really thought to himself or outwardly talked to the feeders. Maybe he was doing it inside his head, but I saw no evidence of that. Where he was considering, well, maybe I should take James. He's definitely the easier win. But obviously he thought he could win against both of them, and he was wrong.
Alex, can we attribute this decision then to Paul's arrogance?
Well, I don't know if it's arrogance so much as just a lack of understanding of the end game. You know, the end game in Big Brother is so unique and different from the rest of the game. And without having, you know, study, like, you can know how, you know, the week to week works. There's two nominees, there's a veto, someone may come down, all that. But the end game is really a different animal, and to not have seen it played out before really kind of puts you at a disadvantage, especially when you're coming up against two people who've actually played the game before.
Yeah,
I think, you know, Taryn did a good job, I think, earlier when this came up briefly, of just laying out, like, why we chose certain moves to be on, like, the list of worst moves. You know, like, it's the line of logic, really, more so than the decision. It's like, what was this person thinking that led them there? Which is why, like, I think the Luan superpowers thing is especially bad. Why, like, the Marcellus thing is especially bad, because, like, can you explain this in a way that makes sense to a normal, rational person? You know, and in most of those cases, you really can't. In this case, I think it's certainly not as bad as the Cody situation, because just looking at it at face value, you're like, Cody, really, you wouldn't have beaten Victoria? I think you can actually say, Paul, really, you wouldn't have beaten James? And he might say, like, yeah, maybe not. And you'd be like, all right, well, I can kind of see where you might think that. However, that's not the line of logic he was approaching with, right? He was thinking about honor and, you know, who deserves what is more, like the woo mentality of, like, take the best to beat the best. And that is, like, a flawed mentality. So, like, to me, it's not as bad as Cody because of the level of competition and the uncertainty of the situation. But given the, you know, it's certainly just as flawed in terms of thinking.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree with all that.
I was going to say really quickly, you know, I agree with it to a part, but it seems like Paul should know better because, you know, look, reality TV has been on forever. Like, we're in Survivor 33, Big Brother 18. Like, you know, you have to take the GOAT, the person who doesn't deserve it, the person that no jury would vote for, to the end. Like, where did he lose the script along the way? He totally lost the plot here at the end. I don't know what he was thinking. I can't wait until he gets out of the house and we can ask him.
I don't think he ever knew the plot. He never.
I feel like he did, but I know. I know. We'll see.
Okay. Next question. This one is from Jill Oliver. Jill says, when will Big Brother come up with a better way of voting so they don't have to work so hard to hide their keys? Yeah, it's actually a really good point, Jill. I mean, it happens all the time. It seems like this happens every year. I mean, I don't know what you do to do that.
Well, I can tell you something obvious that they can do right away. They cannot show the person from the front. All they need to do is show them from the back. Like when there's a shot of them from looking at the person who's casting the vote directly head on. And then there's the other shot of them from the back looking at the two final two house guests. They need to stay on that shot until the key is in the box. That's what they need to do. It's just a question of camera work from my point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Taryn, Alex, in Canada, it's a little bit better, right? I mean, they kind of have the angle is different, so you can't blatantly see it. It's not like right in front of the camera where, like, the final two are sitting. But still, I don't know. I don't know. We gotta figure something out. If somebody has an idea, tweet us.
I didn't totally catch the P on Victor's, did you?
That was pretty hard to miss.
One of the predictable, like, if Victor and Corey had revealed, like, we know what those two guys are.
Right.
Yeah. I've, like, honestly, like, at that point, like, we're nitpicking an already terrible live show. Like, there are so many things that they need to change about it, you know? Like, it's just, it's so bad.
The final three is terrible, man. Yeah. Like, the scales are cool, but God, man, is this competition flawed? Everyone's so bad at it.
No, the competition's fine. I like the competition.
It's a crapshoot.
I do like that it's a crapshoot because it emphasizes the social game.
I guess I knew that. That's right.
But no, it's the questioning, right? Like, it's like they're reading off of a card. It doesn't even seem, they have no emotion behind it. And then when they go up to cast their vote, like, they're not saying anything. Like, just give us something here, right? Like, Survivor does this so well, and I don't understand why Big Brother can't do it either.
Well, and they did do it so great back in Big Brother 10 and before, and they decided that they wanted to change it. So,
You've got these sweet, like, factory, like, stock, you know, racing tires on your car, and you're like, I think I want square boulders. That's what I need instead. Yeah. Let's put square boulders on this thing. Let's get it rolling clunkily and uncomfortably.
Yeah, it's just idiotic. Okay, next one's from Halifax Hadar. He says, better second place finisher, Paul, my brother Cody, or Danny Donato. Okay, so Paul, my brother Cody, or Danny Donato. So interesting trio. I'm going to say Paul. I think Taryn's going to say his brother, Cody, Brent, Alex.
I'm going to say Paul only because he plays the way I like to see people play, very outwardly, very TV friendly, but you know, something that you can enjoy as a viewer. And, Cody didn't really give me that. So
Alex,
see, the way I read the question was like best second place finisher. To me, that's like who played the best second place game. And for me, that was actually Cody. Like, he had the least flaws in his game. 21-year-old, because I'm not talking about BB13 Danny now. I'm talking about 21-year-old Danny, who was BB8, a little emotionally charged. And I'm also talking about Paul, who, you know, needed Victor as a returnee.
Right. Like, and that. Danny needed America's favorite player.
My answer definitely changes, though, if we're talking about, like, rank these players. So that's what I want to add.
Yeah.
Well, if you rank them quickly, Alex, if you rank them, then who's, like, if you think in terms of just who's the best, who would you say is the best?
I think right now I'd go Danny Donato, then
Paul, then Cody.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, Taryn?
You put Cody over Paul, right?
Well, that's hard because I feel like if Paul was Derek's right hand man, I think Paul would. I think he has the skills to do a lot of what Cody did. So.
You know, speaking of that, I often wonder about a universe where you remember we had the whole PP thing for a long time, which I'm glad I'm glad that quickly ended.
And I bet Paul would have taken Derek as well.
Well, where it was Paul and Polly working together, and you know it was going to be a thing up until the point where Polly got really really greedy and wouldn't cut Zakiya when he basically said he would, and that was where like Paul jumped ship and said girl bye because he saw that you know Polly was only caring about himself. But Paul really did care about that alliance and he wanted it to go far. I wonder where a universe where Polly was a little bit more flexible, you know, how does that look? What happens in that game? Because that was the trajectory that Paul was on for the longest time until he saw that Polly did not have Paul's best interest at heart. And he decided to jump ship with Victor and the other three to make a fivesome.
I would be very scared to see what that timeline looks like, Brent. I think it would have been a very boring season. It would have just been them cruising to the end. And
So ultimately, I do think I have to say Cody first, just because we saw what he can do with someone like Derek. I think Paul can probably match it, but I haven't seen it. So I'm going to put him second. And then Danny third. I love Danny, but I don't think she hasn't come close to winning the game yet, you know?
Okay, next question is from Kevin. Game is flawed. Next question is from Kevin Donnelly. Kevin says, where does Nicole rank as a BB winner? I'd say top half, but being a returner hurt her in any of your mind? So that was a poorly
returnee.
Phrased. Yes, poorly phrased there. Yes, returnee. And she said returner again tonight, which was frustrating.
I know.
So, but yes, Kevin had the quotations around returner.
He
so
had
he
all of the returners.
Yes, he was in on the joke. But anyway, interesting question. What do you guys think about Nicole in terms of a winner?
Off the top of my head, I'd have to put her, like I said on the Periscope, I'd put her about 12th, and I'm probably going to stick with that until I have, you know, time to evaluate it and really compare her against other people. But, you know, she's probably like lower middle of the road. That's kind of where I would put her at this point.
Alex?
I think she's higher than 12th for me. She's somewhere probably in the middle.
Better above than Steve?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Brent. Above or below Steve Moses?
Oh, man.
I have her below Steve.
Now my head is just a flutter with like care packages and nonsense that just clouds judgment. Like, why can't we have plain seasons that can compare one to one? Just
well, for the most part, the care packages were kind of hurt. That kind of hurt Nicole's game. So, you know, I really love Steve, but Steve was a lot closer to losing a lot more times than Nicole was throughout the entire game. But Steve did it on his first try.
right.
That is true. I mean, for me, that's why I think I would probably, I got to put Steve ahead of Nicole, but it is kind of close. So I don't know, kind of in that mid tier, I think is probably the consensus.
She goes like right under Boogie for me. I don't know.
She's not that high for me. Although you guys have Boogie lower than I have.
We have Boogie lower than you do, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Boogie and, like 7 or 8.
Yeah. And Boogie also did it on his second try, which is an important note.
On an all-star season, though.
I agree.
That doesn't matter.
With hell.
If this was her first run, I would put her right around Maggie at 6 or 7. But it's her second run, so probably...
Asterisk.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I might put her at like 8 or 9. Like, it's hard.
All right. About there.
We go. Yeah, so mid-tier player. Okay. Or winner, I should say. Katie Wallace says, were you surprised that James voted for Paul? Well, yeah, I was actually like so tired from like work and stuff today that when I brought up that question earlier, I thought James voted for Nicole, but no, James voted for Paul. So that, you know, kudos to James, right, Alex?
Yeah, it's a good thing we took our time and yelled with a megaphone that James and Nicole had a pregame alliance because that totally bore fruit, right?
Right.
All season long.
All season long. Shut up about dick. This. Yeah, I know, right? First of all, Paul did a good job here. You brought it up at the beginning, JP, but I thought he really did a good job because in his speech to evict James, he basically called him out for trying to make deals, and Nicole came back and ratted him out. That's what he said. So you saw Nicole bitching to Paul. She just got taken to the final two. Her first thing she does, she's whining to Paul, like, why did you say that? You made me look bad. I'm like, bitch, that's the point. He was trying to make you look bad. And then when James got to ask his question, like, he realized at that point that, yeah, I did kind of get caught and Nicole basically narked on me. So Paul, I'll give it to you. That's how it read to me.
All right. Next question. This one is from Ian Fernsey. Ian says, what was Nicole's answer when Big Jeff asked if she'd rather be hated by America and win or be loved by America and lose? Now, Nicole, the returnees, interviews with Big Jeff, those were the ones that I actually didn't watch. Did any of you guys watch those?
Pre-season. He talked to them? Did he?
Yeah, preseason. Yeah, like when
they didn't get
it.
That question coming
did,
back.
They didn't get did that they? Question, did they? Like, remember, these people didn't even walk into the house, like Julie said. Like, did you hear at the beginning? She's like, you know, they walked into the house and now they're going to walk out. I'm like, no, honey. No. Like,
they
two
hid
of them
in
slipped.
The house.
Yeah, they slipped in through the luggage. Let's be real.
Yeah, I apologize. But asking me about preseason interviews right now is like asking me about, like, what happened at my bar mitzvah. Like, I got no idea, buddy. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Right. Next question.
Okay.
Forever ago.
Jared Goodman says, did Pauly win the game for Nicole by getting tight with Z again? Oh, that's actually, is there some merit to that, Taryn? Because, you know, let's think about it. If Pauly and Zakiya kind of stay apart, is Zakiya going to do what Pauly does? Or does that theory get thrown out the window with the fact that Devon voted the same way that Pauly
right.
did?
I think the fact that, you know, she's either with Pauly or Devon and they both voted Nicole. So I think that she votes Nicole.
Right. And this really had no bearing because Zakiya in her exit interview said that she would not vote for Paul. So like she obviously had some animosity towards Paul, like at the end there.
Do
like,
we know why she had that animosity, Brent?
Help me out. Do we know why she had that animosity?
I feel like Zakiya is just so like, bleh, like nothing. Like, why did she, like, why did she hate anyone?
That's a great description of her, Jordan. She's just like, bleh. She's like nothing. Girl, bye.
Paul flipped on her. Nicole stuck by her side.
Okay. So I guess that's what it is. That's kind of stupid.
That's nice. Yeah.
Well, Pauly flipped on her. But, yeah.
Okay. TV watcher mogul, not social media mogul, says, did you have higher expectations for Paul's speech? I thought Paul did, you know, in terms of his actual speech, I thought that was pretty good. Alex, was that the speech that he was preparing on the feeds?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to a degree, I mean, he's been modifying and working on it.
But that was basically what it was.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, like, you know, especially coming off those questions where I didn't think he necessarily like knocked it out of the park. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else Paul could have, in terms of the actual speech, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in terms of the questions maybe, but I don't know, Taryn, is there anything else you were wanting more from?
In general, I was wanting more strategic talk from Paul. I wanted, I think that's what the jury wanted to hear. I think they wanted to hear, what did you do strategically that got you here? And it was a lot of, you know, how I decided between James and Nicole was I tested them to see who was more honest to me. And like, it's just like, they wanted to know why he was such a good liar, why he was able to manipulate his way there. And none of that was in his speeches. None
right.
of
the, I think that's a really good point because like, you know, we were always, we said, Nicole's not going to own her shit. And I really think like Paul was the one who didn't own his game here at the end. Like he needed to embrace his duplicitousness a little bit more, his duplicity, whatever, if that's a word, I don't know. Fuck. It's
we'll
late.
Go with it. Duplicitousness. Right?
Like he needs
I like
to,
the first one.
he needs to embrace that side of him because that's what the jury wanted. Like, I do think there are a few votes that were possibly up for grabs there where, or that he had needed to at least hold on to, and he didn't give them what they wanted to hear. He gave a lot of, you know, well, I'm a wild and crazy guy, my personality. I'm like, girl, they don't want to hear about that. They want to know, well, how did you get to the end? Like, let's talk about your comp wins. Let's talk about this move you made and why you made it, this alliance you made and why you made it, you know. You made these moves in spite of the fact that you were stabbed in the back continually. And you got here in spite of that. That's what he needed to talk about. And he was unable to do that.
Okay. Tyler Jackson says, was James actually throwing all those competitions or is he using quote unquote strategy as an excuse for inability? yeah. He talked to Julie about that. And he said that some of the greatest players to ever play Alex gave him advice about that. Was Derek's dad one of those great players?
Probably. Yeah, you know, some of the greatest players ever use inability for a strategy, but James uses strategy as an inability.
Poor James. Yeah.
Okay, to James's credit, though, I do think he was throwing competitions, and I don't think he was ashamed to admit when he was trying the competition and lost, except for maybe that wall comp with Nicola. But he was told that he told people that he was told that his, you know, the advice he got was to throw competitions and that he had been doing that. And then when he tried to turn it on, he was like, man, I suck. So, I mean, like, I'm not going to take that away from him. Like, I think he was pretty upfront.
Yeah. But James, just keep eating hot dogs, man. Like, just be happy. Who cares? Edward Morris, Edmo, he says, who was more upset, Paul for not winning BB18 or James for not winning AFP? Okay, well, we already discussed that question, Scott, so if we could get another one, that would be great. Okay, beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, Cheryl Micah says, what was more devastating, Paul losing to Nicole or Aubrey losing to Michelle? Survivor talk here. I don't know. I think for me, it was Aubrey losing to Michelle, Alex.
Yeah,
I think so too. And I think a big factor is that we have live feeds and Survivor. We've got 13 flat hours and we didn't get a lot in those 13 hours to explain why Michelle won the game. And we got enough here where I can argue a reason why Nicole won this game. And so can Brent. And so can Taryn. And so can you. And that's a big factor. You know, like people want to be able to rationalize things. And when you get an edit that over the course of 13 episodes tells you that Audrey's playing this, you know, great strategic game, and you get this edit that makes Michelle seem like she's kind of floating, and then all of a sudden they reward Michelle over Aubrey. It's hard for people to, like, you know, it's like scene missing in somewhere in the movie, you know, like people are having trouble.
Right. And they didn't understand the producers, like Jeff, like the jury, like they were like, you know, of course Michelle's the winner. Like, of course. And we could not see why Michelle was clearly the winner. They acted like it was a foregone conclusion, for God's sake. And I was like, this no compute, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about here. Whereas at least this season, I mean, look, I think of the three of us, I was probably the most pro passionate Paul person. I mean, Alex probably there with me. Jordan, I think you're there with me. Yep. Taryn's a little more even keel about it, but like I really, really wanted Paul to win. And the fact that even I can make a valid argument for Nicole and why I think she's a good winner, I mean, that tells you your story right there.
And speaking of Survivor and Michelle, we did do our Survivor draft a couple days ago. And we should point out Team YOLO pulled this one out. I won this Big Brother draft just like I won the Survivor draft with Michelle. So if you want to see my streak either continue or see me dramatically fail, check out our Survivor draft because that's going to be a lot of fun.
Ooh, nice plug there by Taryn. But yes, we did a draft on the Happy Hour this season and congratulations, Taryn. Once again, hashtag Taryn was right.
Undisputed.
It pains me to say that, but,
And did you have the first pick in that draft? I can't remember. Oh no, wait, Nicole,
Taryn was able to pick the order. Yeah.
I gave Alex the first pick, I think.
But we didn't even know who the returnees were at that point, right?
We did know, and Alex.
Yeah, we
did.
Oh, we did know.
Okay. Frank over Nicole.
No. Right? I got the.
Or did I pick Nicole first? No, because
you picked Nicole first. You had the four.
Pauly.
Yeah.
You took first pick of returnees, or did I?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, maybe I did.
This doesn't matter. This is great podcasting. Great podcasting.
In doubt, I screwed it up.
We will talk about this offline. Okay.
No, this is Survivor Season. This is my season. I'm calling it right now. I love my draft.
Hashtag King Darnell.
Pete Yolo had the final two in the team. So, yeah.
Okay, Taryn, enough. Mia has a question.
See, they don't like it when they lose. If they won, they'd be talking about it forever.
No, I don't like it when we have crappy podcasting and Rob comes back to me and says, hey, why did you spend 12 minutes talking about your irrelevant Big Brother draft
the chat
that
is
was 4 months
all
ago?
Of this, Jordan. They're like, shut up, guys.
Okay.
I'm crying behind these glasses right now.
Okay. Mia has a question. She says, thoughts on Will Kirby's tweet. And so she's quoted a tweet of Will Kirby's. Dr. Will tweeted, he says, it went through a rough patch for a few seasons, but after tonight's finale, at CBS Big Brother is back, all caps. Did Dr. Will preload this tweet a la Rupert Boneham, Alex?
I think so.
Don't ask Alex about Dr. Will tweets. It's not a happy subject.
I have to think. Like he's got to know.
I'm the guy that engaged him and didn't get blocked, dude. I'm like the I'm like that guy that gets bit by zombies and lives.
Right. Yeah.
Are you mankind's only hope?
I think he obviously preloaded this. Like, he has to know that the fans were pro Paul. I mean, although in fairness to that, though, I looked on like many of the sites and it was basically like 40, 30, 20 as far as like, you know, you're rooting for Paul to win. You're rooting for Nicole to win. You're rooting for James to win. So it's not as clear cut. I looked at three different ones and with tons of votes, even Julie Chen's one that she put out and they were like, you know, I don't know, 30,000 votes on that one. And it was always like, you know, 42 Paul, 33 Nicole, things like that. So it wasn't as clear cut as you think.
Here's a conspiracy for you. Conspiracy theory for you. Is Will just trolling us all? Did he go to that jury roundtable and get them to vote for Nicole just to mess with the hardcore fans that he loves to mess with? Is that what's happening here?
No, I think the tweet is just what the trolling is. Like, I think he knows it wasn't what we wanted. So that's why he tweeted.
And
that.
He made it happen, Jordan. He was...
Hey, Will Kirby, he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT,
right.
Karen.
Don't hate the jury. But- don't hate Davon. This is Paul's fault. Paul needed to take the right person to the final two. He didn't. He paid the price. That's the end of the story.
And Jordan, if Will was the GOAT, I don't think he would have survived the round table with Corey there. Just saying.
Oh, I see what you did there. Well done. Mic drop by Taryn. And that hashtag, that's the joke. Okay. Revamp World says Rob saying pissed on Snapchat put a smile on my sad face. Okay, so yeah, you can see if you want to check out Rob's Snapchat, Rob Sesternino on Snapchat, you can see Rob from the backyard. He's got his plaid shirt. I don't know if you can see this little graphic
Rob
that I have up on
shirts?
The YouTube video.
Oh my God.
I know, right? What a surprise.
Out the presses.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So there you go. So Rob is having fun in the backyard. So that's very cool. So definitely stay tuned to see what on robisawebsite.com to see what Rob has in store for us maybe late this evening, early tomorrow. But I'm excited to see the interviews that he puts together there. This one here is from S.H. Riley. S.H. Riley says, why isn't there a BB reunion? Every year I'm left hanging with questions. That is a great question, S.H. Riley. I think part of it has to do with the fact that they have this reality. CBS loves this reality TV Super Bowl where Survivor leads into the Big Brother finale, but it would make sense to have one, right, Brent?
Yeah, I suppose. I think, like, here's the thing. For people who are wondering, like, you know, why do they do these stupid questions now? Why do they do it like this? Why is the finale like this? They had gold before. Look, here's the thing. They like the idea of having uncertainty up until the final night. They like having a final three where they evict someone and now it's revealed to America who the final two are. So people tune in. But combined with that, when you have uncertainty, uncertainty does not play well on TV, nor does it play well on a podcast. You have to have a certain order that you do things in, because if you don't, then it gets away from you. So the last thing production wants is for them to not know what questions are going to be asked. Like, you could stick a mic in front of Natalie and say, okay, ask your question to Nicole or Paul now that he took Nicole to the final two. And she'd be like, okay, hi guys, how you doing? Like, you know, it could literally be like that for 9 minutes. So they have to give them. They have to give these. Well, honey, the train's left the station on that. They're not going to do that. Okay. So they can't tape it because they don't know who the final two is going to be. That's the thing you can't seem to get over. Like, you want them to go back to the way things used to be, but it's not going to be like
that. That worked fine. Like, you're saying that's impractical for whatever reason.
I agree with you, but obviously the producers have made a decision that they want. The point is that this is the way it's going to be, with the final three being undetermined going into the final two on finale night. And because of that, they can't ask honest questions. They can't put things together because they don't even know who the final two is going to be.
But you can do that by just cutting the feeds and not having a live show when they go down to the final two.
I don't know.
All right,
That might work.
He got him.
Well, I would love that. I mean, but that's never even been discussed. Like, I would love that though. That would be great. Because who cares about the feeds during the last week? That would be great if they had an eviction where they are on finale night. That was like where they cut the feeds like 5 days ahead of time. They evicted somebody. That person who was ever final three would have to go out to no audience, which is fine. The people at final five do that all the time.
Yeah.
And then they would tape the finale questions and jury segment and show it, but it's taped, and then they don't, you know, maybe they want it live. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Just
send it to Julie Chen, Taryn. That's a good idea.
Do it, big brother. David Weymouth says, if Paul comes back for an all-star season, is it possible for him to get to the end again? This is tough. I mean, I guess anything is possible,
Dan
but
Gieseling
I don't know.
Got to the end. Come on, people.
But Dan, it's because he's Dan Gieseling. I mean,
well, also that wasn't an all-star season. That was like a minefield because Dan's a returnee up against a bunch of new players. I think in an all-star season, Paul doesn't necessarily look like the most intimidating dude. Think about some of the all-stars that would potentially be there. They know the game inside and out. And like, Paul's a guy who didn't even really watch it. Like, you know, he'll probably watch his season to see himself, but I don't think he'll like go study, you know, Machiavellian techniques and stuff like that for the next time he plays. So, no, I don't know why you would necessarily be super worried about Paul if you were to play an all-star season with him.
And he didn't even win.
And he's demonstrated himself to be a loyal guy. Like, he got screwed over more this season. It's not like he turned on people. And then also, he plays his cards pretty open. You know what I mean? Like, most of the time he was doing things, you knew what he was doing. So why wouldn't you want to keep someone like that around? He's pretty predictable.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember the last time that Paul literally stabbed somebody in the back. Like every time he was loyal to somebody, he was the one getting stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
he was already starting to have those conversations about turning. So it coincided. It worked out well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I agree with everything you're saying, Alex, but I do think the perception of Paul, even with a large part of the audience, is that he's this, you know, strategic player that lied to people. And they talked about Paul is the greatest liar ever. I think that's the perception that's coming away from this season for Paul. And I mean, that's a large part of why people thought he should win. And I think that if he went into a non-all-star season, I think that reputation would be very, very difficult to overcome. But as you said, if he goes into an all-star season, I think he has a much easier time there. I think that those people will be more familiar with his game, and obviously there'll be bigger targets, and he'll be able to do sort of what he did this season, only with more knowledge, and I think that's a really good spot for him.
I don't know. I can't agree with that. I think people think of him as like the guy with the Pablo floaty who dancing in the diary room, like saying friendship all the time. Like, I don't think anybody's going to fear this guy whatsoever, but that's my... you can disagree. That's fine.
I don't even know if it's so much as if they'll fear him. I think they'll maybe be jealous of him because he's so popular and a lot of people really love him. And I think that might be a reason to get targeted. But in terms of what you just said,
in a house with Johnny Mack and with, you know, like, yeah, think about.
Yeah,
who
but some people,
have,
but there, know? There will be some people that aren't that, are, that aren't that
I just
popular.
Thought of something Paul's that, there, I wanted to bring this up. Like, do you think that Davon punished Paul at all by not doing what he needed to do at final three and taking James to the end? Like, do you think that she is like that Nicole managed to hoodwink Paul into taking her to the final two?
Maybe.
Do you think that there are jurors who basically remember Artie in Big Brother Canada 2 Artie. Arlie. I'm sorry. I knew I couldn't remember his name. Arlie, who he said he would not have rewarded Netta or John if they took the other one to the final two. Like, he wanted to see one of them cut. One of the other. Right. He wanted to see them like do the deed that needed to be done. Paul did not do the deed that needed to be done. And I wonder if some people, you know, really didn't. They heard that he won the final HOH and he still took Nicole and evicted James. I think there are probably a few people that were a little quizzical about that.
Yeah, and maybe that speaks to like the idea that Davon did come in with a set order saying, I'm going to vote for Nicole, then Paul, then James, and then thinking like, oh, I would actually kind of rather vote for Paul. So hopefully Paul won and took out Nicole. But then when she saw James walk out, she's like, all right, well, Nicole, I told myself Nicole wins if she's there, I guess. I could see that.
Or maybe she thought, I would rather vote for Paul than Nicole than James, assuming that the only way that Nicole would be there is if she was there with James, and thinking there's no way Paul would be dumb enough to take Nicole. But once Paul takes Nicole, she's like, well, what am I supposed to do now? And then Nicole gives good answers and she's like, sorry, man. Like,
I need to go back to the point when Julie Chen told the jurors that Paul won the final HOH and decided to evict James. I want to see what Davon's the look on her face is when she hears that. Like, is it like, wow, like whoa, like, you know, let's hope Rob asks her in the backyard.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah. Leah, Anthamatin, hopefully I got that right, Leah. Sorry. Is Paul taking Nicole worse than Cody taking Derek? We talked about that. Yeah, no. Sorry, Leah. And sorry for butchering your last name. Gregory McBean. Gregory says, after Andy and Nicole both won Big Brother, does this prove that snakes and rats are the best at this game? I would say, yeah, right? I mean, like, if you gotta be, Andy is one of the best players to ever play this game, and he's the, you know, the infamous rat floater. So, right? It's gotta be snakes and rats all day, baby. Yes?
Sue calls it's a game it,
of it's a game of deception. Yeah. I mean, the people who aren't being snaky or ratty aren't doing it right.
Yeah, if you don't have deceptionness or whatever Brent was saying earlier, then you know, you can't.
Duplicitousness.
Oh, that's what it was. Duplicitousness.
I want to know if that's a word. I'm looking that up.
Look that up right now, please, Brent. Right. That would be great.
And it's often a strategy that the fans are not going to like, and even the people in the house are not necessarily going to like. That's going to do well, and you know. People didn't like Nicole's strategy. People didn't like Andy's strategy, but they sat there in the end, they got there and they still got the votes. And so it's like you can hate on it all you want, but if it's effective, it's effective.
It is a word. It is a word. Duplicitousness, adjective given to or marked by deliberate deceptiveness in behavior or speech.
Woo! Yes. Let's go. Well done, Brent.
You learn something new every day. And somebody, I knew it.
Yeah. Somebody knows his English. Okay. There you go. All right, Erica Swismer, why does Michelle hate Nicole so much? You know, this is something we debated. We were like, right. Oh, is this
important,
right?
We were right. Like, this is important.
Go ahead, Brent.
Sorry.
I want to talk about this.
It's because Michelle can't see. It's a kind of a little bit like Paul, where she can't see past her own universe. It was correctly pointed out to her in the jury why it was a good idea taking her out. Nicole Michelle said this entire time that it was personal. That it was personal for Nicole to get rid of Michelle. Why in the world would she keep Paul in the house and then get rid of Michelle? Obviously, it was personal. But then it was correctly pointed out by. And I don't think Victor did his boy any favors here by Corey and by Victor that, you know, this was strategy because, Nicole knew that she was, you know, okay with, James and Natalie, but they were a threesome with Michelle and she couldn't have that, if she couldn't play for HOH. I think it was Corey who couldn't play for HOH the following week. So, it was Nicole. So it was a wise move for her to get rid of Michelle and Michelle just couldn't accept that. I don't understand. She's a super fan and she couldn't accept that. This shows me again that super fans do not make the best jurors. A lot of them get really bitter. They can't see outside of themselves. God.
We're falling for her trap again, though. She's not a super fan.
She's not a super fan, right? Yeah. When I heard Michelle's question came up in the scales of just us, like when you heard that one of them had super fan in there, I'm like, that's the one, girl. That's the one. And sure enough, there was. And they both got it wrong, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. How many times did she say it tonight? At least like four, right? It was excessive.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just glad because the term had jumped the shark for me the moment I first heard it uttered. So I'm glad it's jumping the shark for everyone else now.
If anyone's got a new idea for a correct way to describe the super fans in the categories of them,
I've already pitched Die Hard.
Die Hard. Okay.
I've always liked Big Brother Historian, and with Jason potentially going back on the season, I believe is the one that coined it.
He is.
I think that, you know, maybe that can come back to Jason if you're not there yet. if you're listening.
Alex, are you the one who can do it? Yeah. You can do a really good, like, let me hear Jason say so. Like, I'm a Big Brother Historian. How does
Hookers.
He talk?
Hookers, it's not the super fan. Okay. It's the Big Brother Historian.
Oh God, I need Jason so bad. He'll make me feel so much better.
Oh man. And in BBOTT, there's live diary rooms, it said, apparently on the schedule, Brent. So we'll get to see all of what Jason is saying to production, which will be...
Like, people cast enough votes, will like slime pour down on them from the roof?
That'll be great.
Well, I was talking about my feelings and having a moment. No, slime.
Oh boy.
OC DeLilly says, do you think that Nicole's win bodes well for her and Corey lasting? Well, certainly. I mean,
she's just going to lay back and let it happen. Did you hear that when Dave Onabout fell out when Nicole said that? She said, I just lay back and let it happen. Like,
did she say that?
She did. And then Dave Onabout fell off her chair. Like, it was great. It was delicious.
If only Dave On could see feet.
For those of you wondering out there, I'm sure Corey's going to play straight for a couple more months. And he's going to, like, get some of that money that Nicole just won. And then he's going to say, girl, bye. That's what's going to happen.
$500,000 can buy the best Christmas ever. That's all I
know. Yep. I think through Christmas.
You're saying Christmas, Brent, before or after Christmas, Taryn?
I think as the season progressed, they got closer, and the fact that she won, I think, is going to be huge. And I think they'll last a little while.
Alex, would you blame me for staying in a showmance with someone I didn't really like if they won the money?
No.
Okay, so I don't know if Corey's going to go for it. It seems like part
of it. I might judge you quietly, but I wouldn't blame you publicly.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I feel like, you know, there is something there, right? I mean, they do, like, it's just like, I don't know if there's like a ton, but they did seem to genuinely like each other. It just seems like Nicole liked him a little bit more. Amara Grotsky? Sorry, Amara. You're going to have to tell me how to pronounce
it. I'm going
to
read the questions from now on. Go ahead, though.
Thank you, Brent. I appreciate it. It's been a long day for me. Sorry. I've been up since 4:30 this morning. Do I think Paul would have won Big Brother? Do you think Paul would have won Big Brother if he apologized for going off on house guests? Yeah. So should Paul have apologized? I mean, this is a thing. We see this in the final two sometimes on Survivor and Big Brother, where people, you know, namely Survivor, really, where people apologize to the jury and they say, oh, I'm sorry for playing the game and stuff like that. Do you think that if Paul would have apologized for what he did, that people would have respected that? Or do you think it wouldn't have really made a difference either way, Taryn?
I don't think it would have made a difference for pretty much any of the jurors. They were all looking for, I mean, Devon was looking for gameplay, and I don't think that would have mattered to Devon. Could it have mattered for Natalie?
Yeah, maybe. That's the one I'm wondering.
If Paul gets on his hands and knees and says, I am so sorry for what I did to you, my queen, you are amazing. I should have never done any of those things. Maybe. But honestly, I think she still feels like, haha, but I'm still going to punish you.
Breaking news from the backyard. I just had to share this. I'm looking in the chat. This might not be correct because I didn't actually hear it, but according to the chat room on robiswebsite.com, and I'm sorry, I missed who said this. Big Meech, in her interview with Big Jeff, said that she would rather that he had done the jury roundtable because Dr. Will was quote unquote mean. So
this is our super fan.
Yeah.
Like, the Big Brother house was never supposed to be a safe space. Like, this is not.
Somebody else talked. This is the girl that trash talked every single house guest on Reddit and us.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, she didn't trash talk me.
It's this kind of behavior that makes me a self-loathing millennial. That's all I can say on the matter.
Okay, let's take a couple more questions and then we'll wind things down. This one's from again, Brent, I'm gonna need your help. Allison Cajoler says, what happened to Julie talking to the pre-jury people? Yeah, that was really unfair. Hey, like, they bring them on stage and, like, just
wrap it up.
Nothing. They don't even say anything. Like, we talked about this, we touched on it briefly, but I just gotta say, like, that just sucks. They
this
didn't
was
even
so
get to
stupid.
Say anything.
Like, why didn't they show all of, all I needed to do was show all of part one on the Friday show when they, cause they showed the beginning of it. Like, it wouldn't have taken that long to show
no!
it. Like, even 5 more minutes. Just show the beginning of part one. You could have grabbed 5 more minutes talking with the preachers. Again, this goes back to what I said about it being a live TV show. It brings uncertainty into the mix when you bring 5 people on a show, you haven't talked to them, you know, you don't know what they're gonna say when you ask them questions. And you know, that was why I go back to Big Brother 13 when they brought Evil Dick and the other people who had been evicted pre-jury back onto the stage. Julie kept going back to Evil Dick because she knows what she's going to get from Evil Dick. You know, you go ask flipping Bronte a question. Well, what's she going to say? Is she going to say something that's coherent? Is she going to say something that's fun? Is she going to say something that's awkward? Like, I mean, it pushes uncertainty into a show that doesn't like uncertainty. And that's why they probably don't do it much anymore.
And I think another aspect is the new length of the Big Brother seasons, right? Like, it's been 99 days. It's been, you know, like 50
who are these
days.
People?
Yeah,
right.
50 days since we saw them. Like, the regular audience is like, I don't even probably remember who these people are.
Oh, there in the back. That's the one, the poker player from last year. Yeah.
I think we need to start a
casual fan voice.
No, his casual fan is now his BB historian voice
that was,
as well.
That was my casual Glenn.
Oh, okay. We should start a campaign for Glenn to be on BB OTT2.
Right?
I think
I can't believe
you.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought she'd be.
He would just lose the first public vote, and it would just be all the more reason to be. Yeah, no. We should subject him to that.
Okay,
he
Jordan.
Wouldn't get the play strategically anyway. That's all he wants to do.
Jordan, Glenn on Ginger Ninja All-Stars.
Glenn is in for Ginger Ninja All-Stars. We're already, the Ginger Ninja and I have been in talks, and we are already getting ready for our All-Star season. Glenn will be getting the call. Jennifer asks, did Paul mess up his chance of winning at the Natalie question? And yeah, we touched upon that a little bit. Scott, let's take one more, and then let's bring this thing home. Brett said, did the C word cost Paul $450K, or did thinking Nicole deserves $50K over James cost $450K? Yeah, I mean, we touched upon it.
The latter, because the person he said the C word to voted for Paul. So, like, Michelle was the one who he said it to, and she voted for Paul. So, I mean, like, I really think that's so overblown. Paul making the incorrect decision. Again, he kept thinking, Nicole's the one, I can beat both of them. Nicole's the one who deserves the money more. She's worked her ass off. I'm going to be loyal to her. He never even considered taking James to the final two. And I was really blown away by that, because up until this part of the end game, he had really considered all angles, and he never really seemed to consider taking James. And I don't know why.
Yeah. And yeah, specifically talking about Natalie's vote, you know, people are going to point to things like I'm hearing in the chat that she's saying that she voted for Nicole because she wanted a woman to win. You know, we can talk about the FT thing. We can talk about the C word. But the fact is, she was saying that she was going to vote for Paul over Nicole for a really long time, right? And up
Nicole
until she was evicted.
Okay.
And
she also said she was going to vote for a woman for a long time, though, too.
But what she said was, I'm going to vote for a woman except for Nicole. Like almost every single time. And what happened was Paul mistreated Natalie, as
yeah,
Brent
yeah,
mentioned, like in that thing where he said that she threw James under the bus, he was trash talking her. She caught him trash talking her. And then again, like the goodbye messages, Nicole played it right. Nicole won that vote back. And I mean, that's just how it went, you know, like,
and the reason, let's be clear, Paul wasn't trash talking her just for the sake of it. He was trash talking Natalie to James because he knew that Natalie was going to be evicted. He wanted James to be on their side if for some reason James won head of household. So there was a method to his madness. I just think he could have done it in a way that didn't throw Natalie under the bus, because you know, it's going to get back to her.
But even that was a mistake, right? Like, he should have evicted James instead of Natalie, and he should have.
They didn't have the votes, honey. They were head of household. How are they going to do that with one vote out of three?
He didn't even try. Like, he wanted James to stay. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't.
Corey and Nicole said to each other, "They're never going to do." Like, they were giving like yes, please to Paul and Victor. Like, you know, we'll do what you guys want to do. But behind that,
you can't credit him for something he never even considered.
But Corey and Nicole are never, ever, ever, ever,
that's
ever keeping
him. He wanted to.
I just think that's something
Nicole
stupid
to
argue
James.
About. Like, honey,
Alex,
I just think,
Alex, just break the. What do you think about this?
What the f? Like, are you really gonna get on him for that? Like, they were.
We all got him for it.
Can I get something out? Victor was the head of household. He only had one vote. Corey and Nicole controlled whatever happened that week. They're never, ever, ever going to keep Natalie in the house. They were never going to do that.
Yeah,
they
just said like Natalie was never going to turn on Paul and Victor until Nicole turned them on.
So what's the point then?
Because that's Big Brother. You turn people and make them do things against
them. There was no way to do that.
You're definitely both right.
Thank you,
Alex. And that is why you're reliable, my friend.
That's why I would actually win the game.
Yes, exactly.
Because you give wrong answers?
Taryn,
you're like Nicole. You can't take a compliment. Like, God. You were just taken to the final two and you're still whining about it? Shut up.
Hey, okay, Nicole won.
Right.
Okay, that's going to do it for that argument. And that's going to do it for this podcast. Holy crap. What
holy
a long
crap,
podcast.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to this finale edition of Rob as a Podcast.
For those of you, the whole summer,
seriously. For those of you in the chat, we're going to wind things down. If you could start giving us hashtag ideas, that would be great. Before we wrap things up, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in to RHAP. This season, it's been a lot of fun helping out over in the happy hour and coming on to RHAP a few times this summer. A big thanks to Rob for all the hard work he did in producing all these shows. So couldn't have done it without all of his hard work. And Scott St. Pierre producing behind the scenes, getting all the questions ready, doing the questions tonight. So big thank you to Scott for all his hard work this evening, staying up late and all season producing the podcast, everything like that. So big thank you to them. And especially, I mentioned this on Monday, but the LFC, Alex, Brent, and Taryn. Watching the feeds all summer. Big shout out to you guys. It's a hard job. Somebody's got to do it. And thankfully, we have you guys to rely on. Enjoy your break. It's a long one, 7 days, and then you're right back at her. So, hooray.
I don't know if these guys can survive me. I don't think they can survive me for another season.
Taryn, I don't know. It could be an interesting season.
Of them a little.
Yeah, maybe. If you want to check us out for Big Brother Over the Top, we'll be back on the happy hour covering that all season. We'll be doing recaps live Wednesday night and Sunday night each week. That's our tentative plan for right now. Subject to change if the OTT schedule gets too crazy. Last question I have for you guys. We didn't talk about this tonight. Where does Big Brother 18 rank for you as a season? Because at the start of the season, we were saying how it's the worst thing ever. It's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, slowly it kind of turned around. Taryn, you mentioned the other day that you actually kind of like this season. So where does it fall for you?
Oh, of course you go to me first. I prepared for the winner ranking. I didn't prepare for this one. Probably in the top half, I think. I liked it. I liked it from when Pauly took over, really. I liked it then. You know, he went down pretty quickly. There was a lot of good gameplay. There was the interesting situation at Final Six with three pairs. And then I think a very good final two. So I liked the season
best final two in a long time. Best final two in a long time. Let's be real about that. I mean, it's really rare that you get, you know, you don't really know which way it's going to go. So often it's like, we know how it's going to go. So there's that. I don't know if I placed it in the top half. Like, there were a lot of things I didn't like about this season, but there were some things that really kept my attention. And there were definitely some power changes and then some more power changes on top of other changes. And I like that part too. So I'd probably put it like right up the middle at like 9, 10, somewhere in there.
Okay, Alex.
Here's the cool thing about Big Brother 18, right? Here's what was cool and what was unique about it. It's like, even, and I remember, like, you and Rob, I think, may have touched on it when you were doing your initial, like, podcast before the season about, like, why someone should watch Big Brother for the first time. It's like, a lot of times, the first few weeks is when it's really exciting, right? And then maybe it tapers off. Like, that's kind of the stereotype of Big Brother, is that, like, the pre-jury phase is what's really exciting. This season was the opposite, actually. Like, the pre-jury wasn't terrible, but obviously, like, the team's twist really kind of put everything on ice. And like, what is this? This isn't really Big Brother. But man, yeah, like, this second half of the season was pretty enthralling. A lot of different ways things could have shaken out. Final six with three pairs is very unique. There's a lot to like about the back stretch. And I think a lot of people at that point were already burned out and checked out at that point. And I think it's a shame because I think that if you were able to stick with it, that you were in for like a good final stretch of a season. So, I mean, I guess ultimately it ends up probably about in the middle for me, but it's funny because it's surrounded by seasons that probably have like a good strong, like, first half or first two thirds and then finished week. Cause that's more typical. Whereas this was kind of the opposite.
Okay. Looking at the hashtags, a lot of things all over the place. I saw somewhere, hashtag duplicitousness. I can't even say it at this point.
Don't do that to the fans. Jordan.
Yeah, that, or we could do hashtag holy crap.
Hashtag BB historian.
That was in the chat. You guys want to go with BB Historians?
I'm cool with that.
Or BB Historians? To
multiple.
Or more accurately, BB Historian.
Yeah, okay. Why don't we do that? Okay, so if you know how to figure out how to do hashtags with a Boston accent, hashtag BB Historian. Okay, so if you want to subscribe to Rob as a podcast, you can do so by going to robaswebsite.com/iTunes. You can get every episode of Rob's Big Brother Over the Top coverage, all the Survivor coverage, everything else Rob is doing if you want to go there. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. You can go to robiswebsite.com/YouTube. If you want to subscribe to the reality TV Rahappy Hour, the show that I host every week, you can go to robiswebsite.com/Rahappy Hour, and you'll get lots of these guys during the Big Brother Over the Top season if you are paying attention to that. That is going to do it tonight, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. For Alex Kidwell, Brent Walgamont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag BB Historian. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.